This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
So, new week.
Yes, we took off on Friday. Well, I took off on Friday. Frank was like ready to go, and Beans was not.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right.
I have been, you know, I just needed a day. I just needed a day.
We all need several days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The baby will not sleep.
Yeah, and I ended up not even taking a day. I couldn't imagine for some reason sitting in front of a microphone for an hour. I don't know why. But here we are today on Monday. So it was a good weekend. Refreshed, renewed, recycled.
Oh yeah. Hopefully, very, very renewed and refreshed and rejuvenated
and recycled.
Yes.
So what happened over the weekend, Frank? What happened?
Is this a rhetorical question?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened? Because I don't know. Maybe I missed it. What happened?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'm just asking. No, I mean, over the weekend, basically, I was contacted by Dr. Peter McCullough, who I don't know if you know. Do you know who Peter McCullough is, Dr. McCullough?
I know the name.
He was the one who did that long segment on Tucker. So anyway, Dr. McCullough is going to be on the show on Wednesday. And what's happened to him is really something. He sent his bio over. Do you want to hear his bio?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's on my messages here. This is his bio. And it's something else. I'm just going to read it. Peter A. McCullough, MD, MPH, FACC, FACP, FAHA, FASN, FNKF, FNLA, FCRSA. Chief Medical Advisor, Truth for Health Foundation. President, Cardiorenal Society of America. Editor-in-Chief, Cardiorenal Medicine. Editor-in-Chief, Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine. Senior Associate Editor, American Journal of Cardiology. Dr. McCullough is an internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist, and professor of medicine, Texas Christian University and the University of North Texas Health Scientist Center School of Medicine. He maintains ABIM certification in internal medicine and cardiovascular disease. He practices both internal medicine, including management of common infectious diseases, as well as the cardiovascular complications of both the viral infection and the injuries developing after the COVID-19 vaccine in Dallas, Texas, USA. Since the outset of the pandemic, Dr. McCullough has been a leader in the medical response to the COVID-19 disaster and has published Pathophysiological Basis and Rationale for Early Outpatient Treatment of SARS-CoV-2 Infection, the first synthesis of sequenced multidrug treatment of ambulatory patients infected with SARS-CoV-2 in the American Journal of Medicine, and subsequently updated in reviews in cardiovascular medicine. He has 46 peer-reviewed publications on the infection and has commented extensively on the medical response to the COVID-19 crisis in The Hill and on Fox News. On November 19, 2020, Dr. McCullough testified in the U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and throughout 2021 in the Texas Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, Colorado General Assembly, and New Hampshire Senate concerning many aspects of the pandemic response. Dr. McCullough has had one full year of dedicated academic and clinical efforts in combating the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and in doing so, has reviewed thousands of reports, participated in scientific congresses, group discussions, press releases, and has been considered among the world's experts on COVID-19.
That is quite a resume.
So this is a man.
I'd hire him.
Would you? I would, yes. Too. In a heartbeat. No pun. This is a guy, a man, very obviously astute, very, he before COVID was like one of the most respected cardiologists or, you know, cardiology specialists in the country. He worked for Baylor, right? So what's happening to him now is, I guess, like in some of they terminated their agreement with him in February. Because, of course, they can't have someone treating diseases on their staff.
Right.
I mean, why would they want that? It's insane.
You can't. You can't have anybody that that applies their amazing wealth of knowledge.
Curing it's people. Like,
you think about that. Why even go to medical school?
You're not allowed to treat people. You're not allowed to.
Yeah, seriously. Why even go to? Yeah, I mean, you. I guess that it speaks to the way that the schools have been set up since the early 20th century, but still. It's becoming more and more obvious that develop these skills if you ultimately have to check with your manager?
I mean, so he was they terminated their agreement with him, so he's no longer with Baylor, right? And okay. I guess like some interviews that he did and some media stuff that he did afterwards, they put that he worked there as the lower third because, you know, it's not like when you have a separation agreement like that, you run around and tell all the media, I am no longer working with Baylor. You know what I mean? So some media outlets published that he was still with them when he was talking about some of the things he was saying about this vaccine, in quotes. And because of that, Baylor is suing him. They're so disgusted with him, they can't even have him associated with them anymore. God, this man who's donated, you know, he's even philanthropically donated to Baylor like several times. I mean, he's like a philanthropist of them. He can't, him and his wife, can't have that. Can't have these people associated with us, the dirty and unwashed. God forbid a media company publishes about this. Anyway, so he's trying to raise awareness on that. But, you know, separately, he's doing a ton of work into COVID-19. And so when he came and said, I want to, you know, get the word out about this and, you know, can you come on the podcast? And he said, yes, absolutely. And I said, it would be a long form interview. It wouldn't be a quick, you know, 5 minutes like on, you know, Fox or whatever. And he was all down for it. So we'll have a really bright, like genius medical professional on the podcast with us on Wednesday.
Tremendous.
I mean, I have so many things I want to talk to him about.
What's like number one and two that you would ask?
I want to get down into the mechanics of treatment for COVID.
Hmm.
Early treatment, even things that some people can do at home without having to have a prescription. Because I've been reading a ton of studies, Frank, because really, like, obviously my friend Presley is right now in the ICU with COVID. Presley's been on the show before, not with you. We've interviewed separately, but he's a dear, dear friend of mine. It's like emotional for me because I met him. I met him in the beginning of this year, but we became very close very quickly because he's so passionate and he's such an amazing patriot. There's no other words. I mean, he's introduced me to so many different people and he had me speak at his Rock the Red event and he gave me an award at that event. Remember I talked about it?
Yes.
I, like, what he put on this award. Look, can I read it to you?
Sure.
It's amazing. Hold on.
Is he conscious?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get into that in a second. It's a huge, beautiful award with an American eagle sitting on a flag with it's beautiful. And the reason why this is important to me is because this statue was on my grandfather's casket. And my grandfather is the reason why I am doing any of this right now, because he was the one who instilled this amazing sense of patriotism in me when I was like in my single digits. He would take me to all his American Legion events. I used to work at the American Legion, volunteer there like every single weekend. I used to do the coat check. I used to get like sodas and, you know, help the kitchen. And then I would meet all the elected officials that came and I would sing the national anthem. And I've written like poetry for them. And it was just a big part of my life growing up. And this statue just happened to be what they chose to put with my grandfather when he was buried. And so the fact that it ended up on this award was just very poignant because I've never won an award for anything before in this realm. I know this is very sentimental and maybe people don't give a crap. I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Go ahead.
The award says Courage of Conviction Award. Rare is the man who does not cower against the forces of evil, but pushes forward in the face of all odds because he knows he stands for what is noble and right and true. As such, this award is presented to Tracy Beans Diaz. Your courage is contagious, your backbone does not bend, and your willingness to stand tall is an inspiration to us all. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6:8.
Wow. Wowee.
And so I cry now. I'm going to try and stop. Anyway,
well, don't. Don't cry. Be anyway, strong.
Anyway, Presley is just an amazing man. And we've been in the trenches here fighting in the GOP. And, you know, I did a whole video about Greenville where they stole the election for the GOP leadership in Greenville, basically. And there was a commission that did this big investigation and found that there was cheating in Greenville and the existing leadership stepped down and they had a new election and they were in, you know, this is the people that Drew McKissick called lepers. That's mm-hmm. Presley. That's who they're talking about. And we ended up censuring Drew McKissick because of that and because he broke the rules of the party. Anyway, long story short, Presley and Jeff and another fine individual in their new election were rightfully elected into leadership positions. And Presley is an executive committeeman, just like I am, for the county of Greenville, which is the largest county in South Carolina. Anyway, so Presley's a dear friend of mine. And so he's in the ICU right now with COVID. And I pray for him every single day. And we've been paying attention to what's going on with him because at the end of the day, there are early treatments for this virus, and I want to talk to Dr. McCullough about what some of those early treatments are that people can do on their own at home. Like, if they start feeling sick, what are the best things to do, and how, you know, what over-the-counter or nutraceuticals, other than the ones we already know about, are beneficial to COVID patients?
That would be wonderful. I also have a couple of other questions. Well, maybe he wouldn't know this, but maybe he would have an opinion. Someone asked me recently, I thought it was a really good question, about dating, especially people who are unvaccinated that may not feel comfortable getting intimate with people who have just taken some kind of an injection that we're still waiting to see what the long-term effects are going to be. What does you know, like sex and things like that mean?
For the vaccinated, like the spike protein shedding off of somebody's penile. Yeah.
or whatever. You're in the same room as, if you're sitting on a couch watching a movie with somebody, it's not even just about actually copulating.
Such a proper word. Such a proper word, copulating.
Yes. Coitus.
So I have that question for him because I've been reading countless studies that people are doing that are coming out like about treatment for this virus. And there are some really outside of the box, like accidental discoveries being made. And I am actually blown away. It sounds stupid, but like, you know, with the flu, you never heard that like certain supplements could be beneficial to the flu. Other, you know, you got your standard vitamin C and your standard whatever, but you never heard that, like, I don't know, and you know, just like random nutraceutical vitamins that you would never think would really be helpful at preventing the spike protein from latching on wherever it needs to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why I don't know. This all leads into another little social phenomenon that I'm not terribly comfortable with either. And that is because there's so many lies going on out there, and obviously propaganda pushes everything, more people feel comfortable enough saying the whole thing is bullshit.
I hate like, that.
That everything is bullshit. And there's a lot of bullshit out there. I don't even know. I don't know. I think that's the second trap that's laid inside of everything is to make the first wave to have such an investment by the media and governments around the world to put so much hysteria into a biological weapon that was so low risk to release. that it can actually lower our defenses for something even worse. I don't know.
There's a Stu Peters video floating around out there where he says the title of it is it's a hoax. COVID-19 is a hoax. I can assure you that there is a virus out there that is not the flu that is causing people to get sick. And I don't think we've ever said, not even once, that COVID-19 was a hoax.
No, I think I always thought it was low risk, high reward. It was a low risk, high reward biological attack.
And, this is stemming from, Frank, that in Alberta, Canada, there was a man who went to court about the lockdowns and stuff. And he was asking to see the isolated virus, and they couldn't produce it for him in court. They said they didn't have, but that, okay, great. So good for you guys. You got out, you don't have your lockdowns anymore.
Is that true though, that they got to reverse their lockdowns because of it?
Supposedly. I haven't watched the whole thing, and that's, part of it's because I don't really watch Stu Peters. And part of it is because I'm just frustrated at the way it's being presented. It frustrates me to no end. So apparently, yes.
I don't know. Because the thing that I try to stay focused on is, like I said before, it was a low risk, high reward biological attack in my eyes. And that is based on the fact that, number one, it is not the same virus that we saw taking people out in China. Nope. On all of those release videos.
Yep.
It was obvious that we were being set up for fear. That never materialized, but the media took it and ran with it elsewhere. The second thing is that we uncovered, at least people did, people like Mickey Willis uncovered early on, before they got banned and we started seeing all these really horrible purges from the internet, that there was this line of funding that continues actually to be expanded upon from the NIH, the NIAID, and Wuhan, that we were doing all this gain-of-function research here in the U.S., that eventually it became a little bit more advanced, that we needed to be able to distance ourselves from it and get it elsewhere. So there's a money trail. There is a partnership between two countries that are supposed to be adversaries that was denied and hidden. So we have denials, that hiding lies, and I just don't understand. There's political motive. Both people over here in this country, the establishment here, and China did not like Donald Trump. And as we know, there was a planetary motive that we're seeing with this great reset. Everybody needed to be the slate needed to be wiped clean for numerous factions, and everybody found a little bit of common ground, and they applied it in their own home countries in their own ways. Everything is, it's not without evidence. So I don't see, and then we have the CDC numbers about where all of the infections came from, and which ones are, which deaths are just from this thing. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's there's so much there that would disillusion a person to say, okay, well, it's all nonsense. And I don't know. I don't have any of the definite conclusions here. But all I do know is that there's always a bigger fish. And there's always something around the corner that they're waiting to take their other hand out from behind the back and slap us in the face, that I don't want to be caught with our pants down. So there's that. And you remember back last year, probably around the holidays, everybody from the WHO to all of our local politicians over here, domestic politicians, talking about this isn't the big one. This isn't even, they kept saying this isn't the big one yet.
I don't even want to think about that.
I know that's, but listen, you have to keep these things in. When they say cyber pandemic is coming, it's going to make COVID look like bullshit, and they say things like this is not even the big one, you got to at least file it away. And keep your mind open for what we might be getting set up for, which is why I don't like developing our own overdeveloped sense of hubris as well.
I will tell you, Frank, Like, I've been invited because, like, again, I put out on Telegram that Uncover DC is taking the entire catalog of work that we've done so far on COVID and making it into one presentation, for lack of a better word, like a PDF that people can go to by topic and find information that they might want to share with their friends.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you want to know something about vaccine passports, click here. And there's all the articles on vaccine passports. If you want to know about masks, click here. If you want to know about the PCR test, click here. And it's a listing of everything that we've done. With, like, you know, a little, I have my graphic designer working on it. It's going to be really awesome. Like, a great resource. Because I started reading through stuff that we did over a year ago. And I was like, holy crap. Because I was looking for something for some of these nurses that have approached me to share some information with them, because this is what's happening, Frank. I was added.
It's a large body of work.
It's over, I think it's over 300 articles. It's amazing. So I was.
Physical publishing.
Oh. Well, I mean, we could. That would be something.
I mean, it may be.
And like hand it
know.
Out. Or sell
oh well, at the old, I know you can't hand it out. You 300 articles. That's going to be longer. That's going to be novel length. But and the other thing there too is that you have to put this out in volumes because we're not even out of the woods.
No, because that's the thing. We're gonna add to it in real time. We're gonna add to it in real time because that's the only way to do it. You can't stop. You know. But I was looking for all this, and so I have. This flood of healthcare professionals coming at us, Frank, which is a beautiful thing. But a lot of them, they've never done, they're not us, right? They haven't been in this world of truth and lies for their entire adult lives, or even during the Trump administration. They haven't been. They've been living their lives. They don't really know. Some of them are Democrats. Some of them are Republicans. They don't really know, like, the background. They're in the very beginning stages of their quote awakening, right? And these are some very highly, highly, highly educated people. So I was added to a certain forum just because they're sharing medical research and information, and it's not for public consumption. It's just, you know, someone added me and said, do you want to take a look at what we're doing? And I said, absolutely. So I'm in there and I see them, they're sharing like, I almost, you know, the stages of when you wake up, like what you go through, the first stage. Yeah. So the first stage is like, you don't know what the hell is true or not. So anything could be true. And
that's the stage where you believe that, 90% of the celebrities that died in the last 20 years are still alive.
Yes. You believe basically anything because, you know, everything that has been told to you is false, and you're an adult and you're a highly educated adult. Some of these people are like highly educated doctors, epidemiologists, like their resumes are impeccable and incredible. And they're sharing like before it's news articles about like about stuff that's clearly we've debunked and moved on from. Okay. But this is where people are at. They don't know I'm telling you right now. Now the medical community is wide awake. Think about that. These are people who have been toe the line. The CDC is God. The government knows what's best for us, basically, for decades and decades. They went to school. They, you know, were in peer-reviewed journals that they respected. Like The Lancet was their God. And now they're like, oh boy, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I can't let people keep dying. And I certainly am not getting this experimental shot. What else have they been telling me is true that's not? And it's over. And I'm like, we don't have time for them to stay in this phase.
Yes.
We need to get them out of this phase as quickly as possible.
I know, but you can't. That's the whole thing. I don't know. I think we just have to, in a way, be grateful that people are there.
Yes.
You just got to be great because I don't know how you can rush somebody along there, Tracy. As I've said before, it's almost like everybody has brought up the Q stuff all along the way as the observer of how that was going on. There was a lot that made me really cringe, a lot of cringy shit that went on. But at the same time, I understood that there was a large amount of things. It was like drinking from a fire hose, the old adage. A lot of people drinking from the fire hose, getting, even though the rapture dates and you know, certain other elements were not very helpful, there was a element there that did send hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, on little internet scavenger hunts and set them down a path that it took a lot of other people 10, you know, decades to slowly chip away, to take up interest in one topic or another and just slowly read through it, to slowly get through your cognitive dissonance, to slowly burn through the depression and the nihilism that comes in when you realize or you start believing that the monsters that you're up against are so ingrained. They've been there for so long and they're so powerful. What point is there to do anything? What point is there even to voting? What point is, you know, that's something that takes a slow burn. I don't know how you can rush somebody through that. They may crack. I don't know. It's almost like you're re-entering or entering into an atmosphere of a new world. You've got to strap in, and you just got to ride it out.
We don't have time.
I know, but you know what? Think about what kind of time we would have if it was 2021. This shit was going on, and still there was the same level of awakening that we were at 6 years ago. I mean, hell, I don't even know what the hell.
This is why I say, having been doing this for so long, people don't realize, like, again, it was 2000 when I first, quote, woke up. That's 21 years ago. So for me, like, it took until 2015, 2016, for the general population to get on the same page as the rest of us had been on, while being, you know, chastised and called crazy for years and years and years. And so when people are like frustrated at how, you know, long it's taking for some people to, like, quote, wake up or learn, or I can't believe these people don't get it, or, you know, I'm telling my family members, I'm down there, I'm at a barbecue and I'm trying to explain to them the new world order and the people are gonna, there's globalism and blah, 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 and they're just looking at me like I'm crazy, I can't believe this. You know, the psychological kind of stages that people go through, like, you want to tell, when I first opened my eyes, I wanted to tell every last living soul on the planet that they were being bamboozled. And I was 20 years old and I was ridiculously passionate, like I am now. And I was like, you guys, you have to. And people looked at me like I was insane. That still happens, but at a much lesser degree.
Because most of the people who looked at me with those quirked brows are now sending me articles, yes, about things, yeah, that I was trying to tell them, you know, or I didn't want to talk to them about 7 years ago because I thought that'd be even more nuts.
Yep.
You know, for example, someone just sent me a article. Someone close to me sent me an article. That has to be about 4 or 5 years, 6 years old now, about some members of the Pussycat Dolls coming forward and admitting that the Pussycat Dolls, you know, entertainment act was really just a prostitution ring. I'm like, yeah, yes.
And I said, this is news, yeah, because?
This is because they just found it. It's news to a lot of people. It just didn't... Because even if you did see those headlines back then, you probably would have thought, oh, wow. Now, oh, wow, that's interesting. You didn't think that it would connect to anything. Just like you don't think that NXIVM would ever connect to Jeffrey Epstein, would ever connect to Jimmy Savile and the royal family, would ever connect to the president of South Korea being controlled by a shamanic cult, which would ever connect to the Dutroux case in Belgium. It all connects to John of God in Brazil and Oprah. I mean, listen, it's so incredible. It's so incredible how long. This is why the Freemasons, however you want to call, those who have found themselves in the mystery schools of things, the Illuminati level. They refer to us as the dead. You know, they refer to us as the profane.
Oh, but we are so alive, Frank.
Oh, but you know, we may be. You know, they refer to us as the dead, though, because we are, in many ways, when you start realizing how oblivious many of us were, and in some cases still are, to the grand machinery behind what is controlling our reality, we really are the walking dead. That's how they see us as. So, you know, so that's when you start realizing, holy hell, these, I guess these isolated incidents, they're not isolated. And it's been going on for hundreds of years. It's an incredible process. Now, as you said, we don't have time. You're right. Time is running out. But at the same time, it's a quickening on every end. They're hustling on their end because people are starting to quickly wake up in ways that cannot be controlled at all. They're even losing control of the public education system.
Yep.
You know, it's a quickening all around.
It is a quickening. And I said it was a quickening back in 2015 and 2016. That's the exact word that I've always used, is quickening, because that's what it is. Like, when people say they're frustrated with how long it's taking for this stuff to happen, I say, you have no idea the exponential rate at which this is happening to people now. It's exponential. It really is. And it reminds me that we're about to do this. And you know, I'm saying this is my theme song that I keep on playing every time that anything happens here. I'm just trying to find it. I should have it queued up all the time. Hold on. Because my husband makes fun of me all the time when I do this. Here it is.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Ugh.
That's us.
Into the thick of the thick.
I actually played that before my GOP meeting that I was about to walk into, that I was so
nervous
about, because I knew it was going to be I'm like one of those people, I deal in energy, Frank, and I know it sounds esoteric and out there and whatever, but it just is the way I am. I've always been. It's energy. If I walk into an elevator and there are people that have been fighting or arguing and I'm stuck in that 3x3 enclosed space, I'll get nauseous. I'll get nauseous. Like, it affects me, like, spiritually and physically. Not even just spirit. It sounds crazy, but it is so true. I can tell. I don't even have to talk to people before I know what their mood is. I just know. You could just feel it, right? Mm. So I knew that this meeting was going to affect me physically in ways that I would not likely be able to hide, because everything comes out on my face, everything. So I was like trying to like ground myself and say, all right, I need to stay stoic and I need to keep my face straight and I can't be reacting. And I put that song on right before I went in just to laugh. And then I walked in hearing it in my head.
Whatever keeps you focused and pumped.
The meeting went well.
Yeah, well, I'd be listening to tracks off of Pantera's Far Beyond Driven album before I went in.
You know, the other song that I listened to that day, that I listened to right before the election as well. This. Did you ever hear this?
No.
It's called Never Enough. Hold on. Listen to the vocals. It's really good. It's not a lot of vocals. This is like my thought-provoking, sentimental-esque sort of grounding song. It's a great song. Would actually go well on your show.
Well, Never Enough?
Yeah. It's by Two Lanes.
Sounds very sentimental.
Put it on your playlist. People were downloading that the other day, by the way. They're like, Spotify playlist is ready for Quite Frankly Show!
I have a Spotify playlist for my show.
People were like sharing it around.
The mixtape?
Yeah.
I've been building that for a long time.
I love your mixtape. Love it.
You know why? And I keep adding to it as well every once in a while, whatever songs make the cut that really – it's all about mood. And it's all about things that that get me thinking, and old songs, all that stuff, all types of genres. But I had to start doing that, and a friend of mine, Amanda from Florida, she actually put it together for me. She created the playlist for me, and then she transferred the control over to me so I can do it myself. And I've been building that up for a couple of years now, because every time I would put a YouTube, all the YouTube playlists that I had for available for people,
they would remove them.
Oh yeah, every other day there's more songs that are removed from YouTube, and it was just becoming a ghost town. So I preserved all the music I could, and I just put it onto Spotify where I know it will not disappear.
Do you know what today is, Frank? Today is August 9th, which means in 2 weeks we have the Dark to Light extravaganza.
Isn't it crazy?
It is. We had a Zoom call the other night with all the participants.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
All of us packed in. There were some that were missing. It was so awesome. This is going to be the best. You're going to love it. There's a cocktail night we're doing on Wednesday where I'm not going to say their names just in case they don't want their names out there, but a couple who is coming during the pandemic created a cocktail book.
Oh, sweet.
COVID cocktails. And so they're bringing their little book and they're sponsoring a cocktail night. We are doing Iron Chef, friend.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's going to be great.
Yeah. And then
I have to pick out, if you have an entire itinerary, send it my way, because me and Lauren have to, we have to make some joint decisions on where we're going together, what I'm just going to jump over for, whatever. Because as you know, we have a parallel family vacation that's going on at the same time there too. So I'm going to be dipping in and out.
Well, you know, you have to be there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's
I know the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I did was I have a very special way that I've done this. Like, I got everyone on the Zoom call and I said, okay, we're going to go over parking and travel and where things are and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm going to give you the itinerary. And so I got all my papers together. I sat down and I said, okay, so here's what we're going to be doing. It's very, very well thought out. Stand by. Nothing. We have nothing on the itinerary. Do whatever the hell you want. There is no plan.
Great. I hate plans. I got to tell you something. I hate plans. You know, that's how me and Lauren even did. That's why even to this day, I get people saying, Frank, you know what? I got to tell you, I've been to a lot of weddings in my life. You and Lauren, that was my favorite ever. There was no seating arrangements. It was buffet style. It was very open and loose.
Yeah.
The only thing that we really did was, you know, there was first dances and stuff like that. But it was amazing.
I have zero interest in planning an entire week for everybody. Who knows what there's like 60-something people, maybe more, you know, that are not staying at the house itself, that are wanting to, you know, go, maybe somebody wants to go do something and the rest of the people do too, or maybe only five people do, or maybe six, you know what I mean? Who knows?
That's very comforting for me to hear, because then that means that, that's very comforting. Because at the same time, I know that, I know a lot of people are down there and everybody wants to do, so it's good to have just a couple of things to look forward to, and then just wide open free time.
A wide open week. That's what they call it. Wide open week. Wow. Hold on a second.
Yes.
But anyway, now that we're done talking about all that fun stuff.
Hey, did you hear that Mel Gibson saved Britney Spears?
What?
Mel Gibson saved Britney Spears.
How?
Well, Britney Spears, apparently, she has, she is now Catholic. She has gone completely on over, and a lot of people have said that there's an intercession by Mel Gibson that was first reported in July.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good old Mel. They tried to destroy him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Mel's saving. You know who else is apparent? And I don't
Justin
know.
Justin Bieber.
Who, really?
Oh, yeah. Huge
well,
Christian.
I was going to say, as far as people trying to save people, apparently Mark Wahlberg is so intense in his trying to get people to go to church with him. And he is a full-throated Catholic. and he has prayer time during the day. I saw some kind of a published daily schedule of his work schedule. It's pretty incredible. I didn't know this, but I'm a big fan of Mel.
Well, it reminds me of this. I had this clip of Joe Rogan, who is got, you know, I'm 50, I'm 70, 30 on Joe. I think he knows, you know, he knows something's not right, and he's willing to talk about it until he's not.
Joe is constantly being, I can't stand when he gets obtuse about things.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's not because he doesn't know what is probably going on. It's probably because he knows he has a really good life and he doesn't want it to end.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? You know, I think people gravitate to, he has the highest rated podcast in the entire universe because people, he's authentic. And people are sick and damn tired of being, you know, lied to by people in suits and, you know, people who are just not with with some kind of propaganda behind them. Like, people don't like fake shit anymore. People do not like fake shit. They don't like it. So here's Joe Rogan on the vaccines. Did you hear this clip by chance?
Is this where he read through the abstract of that new thing that came out?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can't do what you want to do unless you do what I want you to do. I mean, Don Lemon was talking about that openly on CNN.
Yeah.
Don't have a vaccine? Can't go to the supermarket. Don't have a vaccine? Can't go to work. Like,
it's so strange that people want to say things like that. Like, that's the thing that blows me away. Why do people want to?
Because they're dumb.
They're dumb.
Right? They're dumb. They don't understand history. They don't understand right. human beings. They don't understand human nature. They don't understand the history of every single country that's ever existed other than the United States. Up until 1776, every fucking country that has ever existed was run by dictators.
Right.
All of them. This is the first one where you had elected officials. This is the first experiment in self-government that actually worked, and it created the greatest superpower the world's ever known. It created the greatest cultural machine, the greatest machine of art and creativity and innovation right fucking here. And how did it do that? It did it through freedom. Because when you give people freedom, you let people do whatever the fuck they want to do, they actually find ways to succeed and grow and thrive. But as soon as you put the boots to them, as soon as you tell them, you have to do this or you can't do that, you have to listen to me, now you have a mini dictator. You Right. have one step away from a king. You have one step closer. You're moving one step closer to dictatorship. That's what the fuck is happening. That's what's going to happen with a vaccine passport. That's what's going to happen if they close borders. You can't enter New York City unless you have your papers. You can't go to here unless you have that. You can't get on a plane unless you do what I say. And people say, well, it's all about protecting people from them. No, it's not. It's not, because we've shown, this is a fact. Just a couple of months ago, the idea of a breakthrough case was unheard of. Nobody heard of anybody catching COVID that had a vaccine, right? Right. That was the whole idea. You get a vaccine, you don't have to worry about it. Now we know not only do you get it, but you can spread it. And some people have died. Apparently, it's a small number. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know that most people who get vaccinated, when they do have the disease, they have a better time of it than the people who are unvaccinated. But where are the people out there calling for people to get healthy? Where are the people out there calling for people to lose weight?
Now, I disagree with some of what he said there, and I think it's just that he's not educated enough and he doesn't want to say something that's going to get everybody to be like with pitchforks at his door.
Okay.
So, like, that's what I think. But, like, Joe, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm so glad you're saying this now, but we've been one step for decades now. The thing that will, like, after 9/11, it was the Patriot Act for me and the NDAA.
Oh, yeah. And for everybody, every December when we talked about the renewal of the NDAA and little tweaks that were added here, little things added there, it was almost one of those things where it's something we did every year. We complained about the dangers of the NDAA. Now we have hundreds of American citizens who have been indefinitely detained because of an obvious agent provocateur event on January 6th in the Capitol. And here it is in front of our faces, the indefinite detention of American citizens.
Yeah, but That's, yeah, but that's not enough to get the attention because, you know, now this vaccine, I'm telling you, they keep on pushing. Listen, I don't know what's going to end up happening, but I'm telling you, there are people out there. Some people will say, oh, I'll just get it so I can keep my job. Some people will, but there are enough people that won't, I think. I really do believe that. And, you know, Joe Rogan speaking to 20-30 million people.
Yeah, yeah. And the White House is trying to pay gender-confused TikTokers to get everybody to go out there and take the vaccine.
Well, here's another one on TikTok that I found. This one's really good. It's a little longer, but here.
Today is Saturday, July 31st, 2021. So I went to the post office today because I had to pick up some mail, and post office here in New York City closes at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. So I made sure to get there early and I got there at 3:20. When I get there, there's an older gentleman standing outside and the post office is closed. And I said to him, what's going on? He said, I don't know, they're closed. So I, of course, start rapping really hard on the glass, and finally a woman came out and she said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, it's 3:30. You guys close at 4, today's Saturday. She said, I apologize, we had to close because we have no one to man the windows. Now, to be honest, at first I was super annoyed about that because I was waiting for a package. However, she was kind enough to take my ID, she got my package, she gave it to me. And then I started to think, what would happen if every New Yorker did what those postal workers did? What if every New Yorker said, I'm not complying? What if every New Yorker said, I won't get vaccinated, you can fire me? What if every New Yorker was willing to get fired, go on unemployment, stop paying rent, hold on to that money, and then move to a state where they could be free? What would happen then? What would happen if every bus driver stopped driving the buses? What would happen if the MTA workers stopped manning the subways? What would happen if people said, you know what, I'm not gonna go out to a restaurant, I'm not gonna get vaccinated just so I can have a meal outside. You guys can have it. What then? This isn't the first time that I've seen this. A couple of months ago, I had to get blood work done and the clinic had nobody, no phlebotomists there because they had all refused to get vaccinated. And so there was only one woman there that had to take care of everyone. And so everything had to be rescheduled. What if that were to happen in every clinic in New York City? What would happen if everyone just stopped complying? Is it possible that the erosion of our rights and our liberties and the gaslighting and the lies would stop if we just stopped complying? Ben Franklin once said that he who would sacrifice liberty for safety deserves neither and loses both. That's a lot to think about, and there's a lot at stake. Push back, America. Do not comply.
Non-compliance. Mm-hmm. It'll get you thrown right in the pen.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Especially in New York, there's only one chance now.
They arrest the people that don't break the law, and they keep the people that do break the law, they let out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember the tickets at Citi Field for the people?
Yep.
The people that showed up for their court dates, what was it? It was something like the people that had court dates or something, they would give them it free tickets.
Because they wanted to get rid of bail.
Mm.
So what they said was, we're not going to hold you if you get arrested for any crime, whether it be minor or serious. We're going to let you go. And as an incentive to come back to have a court date, we're going to give you Mets tickets.
So you're at the park with your family. You've got a bunch of recently arrested criminals who just got let out and the promise of Mets tickets. So they're with you and your family at the ballpark.
Yeah, maybe you can. They'll probably ask you to buy them some hot dogs.
And then when you say no,
you're not
going
to want to say no.
Yeah.
You know, don't say no. They'll follow you to your car. Then they'll take the car and they'll get more Mets tickets.
Yep.
For stealing the car. Well, no, we're a very compassionate society. Bunch of suicidal lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, that's it for today, I think. How do you feel about that?
I think it was a good show. I had a good time. Thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to have you, Frank, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay.
I really. And Wednesday, Dr. Peter McCullough will join us for an hour, hopefully, of information and passionate discussion about things that no one else will talk about.
Tremendous.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Vale on the drums and
Bynes. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here on Wednesday.
Later.